If I could have my scripture up, Exodus 28, we'll get the scripture read so that you can be seated. It says, "You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord." And so go back to verse 36 real quick. This is it's a word to the priest as the priest was going in, preparing himself to go into the Holy of Holies. The priest was dressing himself just like you dressed yourself today. I hope you were here at prayer at 9:30 and you were getting yourself prepared to go into the Holy of Holies. And this is God's command to the priest, and we are kings and priests, amen? So it says, "You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holy to Yahweh, the Lord." Next verse. "And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. It shall be on the front of the turban." I don't see anybody wearing any turbans here today, but in our minds we have it. "And it shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things that the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. It shall regularly be on his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord." So imagine, if you will, as you go into God's presence, you have a word on your forehead that says, "I belong to Yahweh." How many of you belong to Yahweh? Amen. Next, I go to Exodus 20. This is from the Ten Commandments, right? It says, this is the second commandment. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." I read that one more time. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Please leave the scripture up, but you may be seated. And this word was actually spoken to me right before Jeremy called to say, "Chris, can you share your story?" And when he called, I said, "I think I know exactly what I want to preach from." And it's this scripture. We all are familiar with the second commandment. We won't use the Lord's name in vain, right? And growing up, I always understood that to mean that if I hit my thumb with a hammer, I'm not going to yell the name above all names. I'm not going to use the name of Jesus in a way that it shouldn't be used, right? And so, we look at the world around us, and it's very common for them to use the name of our Lord and Savior in a way that it shouldn't be used. So that is an accurate portrayal of the second commandment. But I was reading this book. It was recommended to me by my boss, Robin Johnson. It's called Bearing God's Name by Carmen Joy Imes, and she is a Hebrew scholar. And I generally don't get into sermons where I try to break out the Hebrew and the Greek. But in this particular case, she suggests that word where we say take the name of the Lord your God in vain, that what she is actually saying, what God is actually saying is that you will not bear my name in vain. She says that when we get baptized in Jesus' name, we are taking on the name of the Lord. And this is a commandment saying, now that you have my name on your life, you will not bear my name in vain. That's a convicting statement to some. How did you live this week? Did you use the Lord's name in vain with your lifestyle? That when we come to Jesus, we're called to live a changed life. He calls us to be his ambassadors, to be his witness to the people around us. That is what we are called to do. So is the baptismal tank still up there? All right, that's where I was baptized too. When you put on the name of Jesus, it comes with an expectation. The second commandment that, all right, you put my name on and now don't use my name in vain. With that in mind, I'm going to go into my testimony. This is my story. So growing up, if my mom and dad get to watch this, I want to let them know I had an awesome childhood. Middle-class family. I had everything that I needed. I was secure. I was safe. There was only one thing missing in my childhood, and that was they never really went to church. I went to church until I was like 11 years old. We went to a Methodist church. We weren't committed. And it just kind of went away over time. But Jesus was not part of my upbringing. And as, if I'm being honest, I realized this as I was thinking about this message. The world around me, I was looking at the Christians in the world around me, and they were using God's name in vain. And because of that, they turned me into an atheist. There was no reason to turn to Christianity in my mind, because the Christians that I saw, there were no apostolics in Muhammad, Illinois. There was one family. It was the Sims family. And nobody knew what to make of them. It was fascinating. But maybe we weren't the only ones. But I looked at the world around me, and Jesus, Christians, they didn't have the answer the way that they lived. Their lifestyle was no different than anybody else. And I was on a search for truth. So I went to college, because that's what middle-class kids do. I didn't need to go to college. I just went. I just kind of made my way through it. And while I was going to college, I was searching for truth without Christianity. Christianity was devoid from my search. I would look everywhere else, into Egyptian mythology, Indian, New Age, anything mystical. I had this real postmodern approach to my religion. I would take truth statements from anywhere I could find it. And I lived this weird mystical life. I would not say that I worship Satan, even though I know now that who I was serving. But I was searching for something real. I was searching for something true. And again, I say the Christians of the day didn't have it. I went to college and I went on this mystical voyage. So while I was in college, my promotion was mass communication and music promotion. So I became a music promoter while I was in college, and I started a heavy metal band. Jeremy loves the name of my heavy metal band. It was Joyhammer. Joyhammer, we had two singers. I was the singer, and then we had another guy that was a screamer. And we were kind of the whole point of Joyhammer was we were kind of shaking our fist at God and religion. And it's irony abound. The song that we were best known for, we toured the Midwest for like 5 years. We weren't big or anything, but we got around. The song we were best known for was a song called Leopold the Baptist, which was about a guy who started a cult where he brought people in and he ceremonially drowned them. Amazingly, none of my friends from those days want to be baptized by me. But they still, when people see me from Decatur in Champaign, Illinois, sometimes I get to shout, Leopold! It's crazy, right? So I've got this band, Joyhammer, coming out of college, where we're shaking our fist at God. I don't believe in him, but I'm searching for truth. I have this philosophy of life that's very mystical and magical. So I graduate from college. I do what any responsible adult does, and I move in with my parents. I become a promoter, and I start promoting heavy metal bands and death metal bands. I become a manager of a band called Third Stone, and I surround myself with hurting people. And it was amazing. So I am more comfortable around the hurting, tattoo-covered people than I am around apostolics, if I'm being honest. And again, my childhood was really good, but man, when I heard their stories, I was like, wow. And again, at the time I was an atheist, maybe an agnostic, and I was just like, what, how? But I loved, the people were, they were great people. And when I see tattoos, I generally know that person. Today it's changing, but back in the 80s and 90s, when a person was covered in tattoos, they had a story that needed to be heard. And it was usually a story of pain, and it was good to listen. But so I'm surrounding myself with death metal musicians and heavy metal musicians. I'm bringing in bands just to make ends meet. And that's what life was. So imagine what, it was a lot of drugs. It was a lot of alcohol. I was having a good time living with my mom and dad's. I didn't need to make a whole lot of money. And then out of nowhere, I get a job offer from a radio station in Champaign called Z-Rock. And Z-Rock was a heavy metal radio station, and they asked me to represent them because I was a heavy metal representative in Champaign. And so they paid me $75 an hour to show up in my Z-Rock hearse, and we had a couple of Z-Rockettes that would get out in their little skimpy outfits, and we would party. And that was life. So imagine what life was like. It was, it was kind of a dream for somebody in the early 20s. Here I am, I'm a rock star in Champaign. I wasn't really a rock star, but I felt like I was. And I was just partying all the time, filling myself with just drugs and alcohol and good times. And I'm not turning to Jesus at all. I'm on this truth quest, but my truth quest is kind of getting lost in my lifestyle, if you will. One day, one of the Z-Rockettes was also a hairstylist, and she asked me to, as she was cutting my hair, she asked if I wanted to move in with her. And I said, yes. And so on a random weekend, I moved out of my parents' house and I moved in with this Z-Rockette. And we were together for, 2-3 years, something like that. That's how stupid I was, right? But I was just living the dream. I was living the lifestyle, just trying to have fun in life because that's all that I had. I had no hope. I didn't care if I died because there was nothing to live for. So that was my, and I say that to say there's a lot of me out there today. And I'm trying to open our eyes to see that, and the world is looking for the truth. And if I work at headquarters, again, at the UPCI headquarters, but we're not. What percentage of the people know what we know? And it's like 0.3% of the nation. We're not doing a great job. We have work to do. So I'm at Z-Rock. I moved in with the Z-Rockette. My show, I've got a show at night. It's called The Bulldozer. It's all death metal. I'm sponsored by a tattoo parlor called Mark of Cain Tattoos. And I'm just, that's my life, man. The only reason I made it through without tattoos, true statement, is all my friends were sleeved, just top to bottom, front to back. And I came out of a middle-class family. And at one point, I was looking at a photo of a band, and there was a drummer in the middle of a tattooed band, and he didn't have any tattoos or piercings or anything, and he stood out because of that. And so I just said, I'll be like him. I'll do that. And that's the only reason. Otherwise I would have had a ton of catching up to do. All my friends, I mean, it's expensive work to get your body done. But and then at the same time, and this is important in the story here, and I don't know if Jeremy knows about this part, but I tried to be, while I was at Z-Rock, the first radio station in America to air High Times on the air, the marijuana magazine, High Times. It was the 90s, and I tried to become the first radio station in America that was going to air the half-hour weekly show. Nobody was biting, and I was like, man, let's do this. This was going to be fun. It was going to be exciting. Had a whole plan to do it. We were this close to being the first. Had a marketing campaign. We were ready, and then my radio station got bought out. And the new owners were like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And in fact, we're going to let you go. After 90 days, they just let me go. So here I was, and I was jobless out of nowhere. Still, I've still got my band. I've still got my bands that I'm promoting, but I don't have the radio station anymore. So then I end up, I'm unemployed for about a month or two. I get a call from my old sales manager who also got let go. And he landed in Decatur, Illinois at 106.7 The Fox. and they're starting a new show called The Bob and Tom Show. And they asked me to come on and be the morning guy in Decatur, Illinois with The Bob and Tom Show. And I was like, I've got no job, so of course I'm going to do it. So I move over to Decatur, and this gets me over to this new place. Are you guys familiar with Bob and Tom at all? Shame on you. Altar's open. Bob and Tom, it's kind of shock radio. It's not quite as bad as like Howard Stern, but they're a little edgy, and they have a lot of comedians that come in. And so what I did is, I'm a promoter, so I started to take their comedians that they had on their show over in Indianapolis, and I started to bring the comedians into Decatur and into Effingham, into the Keller Convention Center. Had some good shows there. And it was a cash cow. Man, we made tons of money. And it was a good life. I was really enjoying Bob and Tom at the time were new and fresh, and so I kind of rode their coattails and became kind of popular in the area. I was just the news guy, but my ego was huge. And so there I am in Decatur, working for the Bob and Tom Show. And I was living like for concerts. One year I counted, I went to 163 concerts because I got to go to them for free. It was awesome. So imagine what lifestyle was like. I woke up at 5 a.m. to make it into the Bob and Tom Show, did the Bob and Tom Show from 6 to 9, and then I would do some production from like 9 to about 2. Then I'd go home and maybe sleep for a few hours, and then I'd go party, take advantage of my fame. And that was life. Just a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, having a good time. In the meantime, I was miserable. And I didn't know it. I thought that I was just doing what I knew to do. And at the same time, there was this crazy lady that worked there. Her name was Wendy. Gregory. Have you guys ever seen Wendy do the thing where she gets shot? You need to ask her to do it. She was a secretary with Tina. And what Wendy did not invite me to church. What Wendy invited me to was she invited Tina and I to come hear her play piano for an Easter drama. And again, I was an atheist. I came ready to make fun. That was my goal. I remember Tina and I, we sat right there, and every time that the lights went dark, that's where Wendy would play, so we'd listen to her play. And up until that moment, I was on this truth voyage, but I had never considered Christianity. While I was at that Easter drama, I remember it very clear. I remember that the men in the drama had some of the worst stage beards I've ever seen. In particular, I remember Tom Short and a very bad beard. But here's the other thing that happened is that the people, as they sang, as they acted, I could tell that they authentically believed the message that they were portraying. And that was the first time I had ever seen that. The world had never shown me a Bible that people thought was true. And so I went home. I didn't tell Wendy this. I didn't tell anybody this. But for the first time, when I went home, I was reading my Bible when I was seeking truth. Now, this is what seeking truth meant in those days, is I would sit and I would smoke a big bowl of weed, and I would pour myself, there were moose cups at Hardee's, I would pour myself a Malibu rum and Diet Coke moose cup, and I would be stoned, and I would drink, and I would read the Bible. And that's what God used. So I started to read for the first time as going, maybe is there something here? I'm not sure. So I was kind of studying on my own for about 8-9 months. And about 9 months later, Wendy says to me, she goes, there's a guy that I think you would be interested in. hearing at my church. And I'm like, I don't know about that. She said, well, I think you need to come see him. His name is Irvin Baxter. Are you guys familiar with Irvin Baxter? So I came and I saw Irvin Baxter, and he scared the pudding out of me. And I remember the Chernobyl was one of the trumpets, right? And so if like the fifth trumpet has been blown and we're only two trumpets away from the Lord coming, maybe, you know, is there something that I need to? So I started to, I got a little bit of a panic in my soul. And at the same time, Christ Tabernacle was offering home friendship groups. And so, and there were some home friendship groups in Decatur, Illinois. And Wendy was on, when on Wednesdays, especially, I'd get off air. Oh, I have to say this. So the Bob and Tom show, I started praying that God would reveal himself to me. And he did. And I told God, I said, God, if you will, I gave God 30 days. I said, God, I'm going to give you 30 days. It was a test. I said, 30 days. These people say that if I believe in you, whatever that means, that you, your presence will come to me. I said, so if that's a true statement. Either that's true or it is. And if that's not true, I can just dismiss the Bible because that's the main claim of this. That God's presence will come if you believe in Jesus. That's the whole point of this. And I didn't believe it at the time, but I said, God, I'll give you 30 days. If you come, I will follow. Let me get a drink here. And he came. And I remember that I realized that God was speaking to me. I hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, but I knew that he was speaking to me. I just, you know that you know at those times. And I literally went in because I told God, if you show me that you're real, I'll quit. And he showed me. So I went in and I quit. Out of nowhere, just said, I'm done here at the Fox with the Bob and Tom show. Didn't have a job lined up, but I told God, hey, I told you that I would try to follow, and I did. And so I'm unemployed, still smoking weed, still drinking, doing my studies, going to home friendship groups, and not sure where to go. But here's what I can say. During that time, Sister Jolene, if you're out there and you're listening, well, we had a discipleship class where Jolene was there. I think Scott Cutler and Rick Allen were in that with me. Fascinating times. But the reason why I'm here today is because this church did not use the name of the Lord in vain. Amen. That this church bared the name of Jesus to me when I needed it most. And I have continued to watch this church reach to this community in a way it is so beautiful and so loving. I am here to encourage you to say, keep doing what you're doing. There is so much pressure on a church these days to be apostolic. But don't try to be an image. Try to be yourself. You just be who you, I want to say, you are exactly where you are meant to be. So many times we try to go, God, if you'll just get me over there, then I can really start working for you. And that's not the way this works. If you're having trouble finding the presence of God, chances are he's asking you to do something and he's not going to give you his presence until you obey. But other than that, just be beautiful. Be loving. Be kind. Be wonderful. I know the pressures that we can feel. This world, it's a depressed world right now. And we're looking for that shift. But that shift is just us bearing the name with all that we have. Can you do that? So you decide today, how do I go home today? It is, if you have been baptized in Jesus' name, God is calling you to bear his name with honor. And if you do that, incredible things are going to happen. You don't have to put any pressure on yourself. Nothing needs to change other than just your willingness to say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm ready. If I could have musicians, is there such a thing? Yeah. I don't know what we do here in Herrick. If I could have you stand to your feet. And I just want you to look at that scripture again. You shall not take the name of Yahweh or Jesus, your God, in vain. For Jesus, Yahweh, will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You know how you're living. You know what changes God is calling you to make. Now, that is not saying you have to live a perfect life. Man, do I mess up every day. And every day I have to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't believe I'm still trying. And he, man, when you just bring your sin to him and bring your pain to him, he shows up every time. He's faithful. This isn't a message to say you got to be perfect to serve Jesus, because we're not. None of us are. But he is faithful. And I want to see the next chapter of what Herrick does in the state of Illinois. You know, I live in Missouri now, and I know that Illinois is getting a bad rap. But it's in the face of persecution that that's when God does his best work. So if Illinois is as bad as people say it is, then great. Get ready to do great things. Because he is in charge of this church. He is in charge of your life. It's not just, all you have to do is submit. Let his wind fill your sails and let him do the rest. There's a second half to my testimony I don't have time for today, but how I got to headquarters. But God is beautiful. And he's here. And he's faithful. And I just want you to respond. If you have something that you've wrestled with this week, where you just have felt worthless, where you felt depressed, where you felt, God, what am I doing here? I don't know what to do. I just feel worthless. Let him just take that from you. Your life belongs to him. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, you said, Jesus, I belong to you. And from here out, everything I do will be for you. God is ready to do an incredible thing. When I left Herrick, Celebrate Recovery wasn't a thing here yet. But I remember when Rachel called me and she said, I think I know what the next chapter is for this church. And it's been powerful to watch what God, and it's not, you can't compare what's happening here to any other church. It doesn't matter. They don't matter. All that matters is that you are obedient to the voice of God. Whatever that means, we're all at a different place in the journey. But I'll say this, we serve a holy God. And as we are in his presence, he will continually transform us more and more into his presence. Discipleship is a journey, and it is an ugly, messy journey. People don't get saved and just automatically just get perfect overnight. There's a lot of hiccups, a lot of falls. I had a ton of meanderings. Thankfully, I met Layla and she straightened me out. We serve a good God. We serve a faithful God, and he is here. If you will just lift your hands and just submit yourself to him. I remember the first time that I felt the Holy Ghost. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, but I felt the Holy Ghost. I was right there. It was a Monday night. And the last thing I remember saying that was before I felt the Holy Ghost was just, Lord, I am so tired of the decisions that I've been making leading me to where I'm at. I am so tired and I quit. And I just need you to take over. And when I said that, I felt his presence. And I felt like, I felt his presence in a way that it was like a cold and it was a hot. And I was bowed down and I thought that the church might be manipulating me. I thought they may have turned on a light and a fan over me. And, you know, I was thought maybe this was a cult and I didn't know it. Because I felt something really weird and supernatural. So I went home that night and I got in the exact same position at home and I said the exact same thing. And I felt the same thing. To say it wasn't the church. We have to let God be God. And that means we have to let go sometimes of what we think. And it took me a little while to let go. My last cigarette was my first day of seminary. Meaning I still smoked while I was here. Uh-oh. It takes time. Discipleship is messy, but it's worth it. And we're all works in progress. So I just want you to lift your hands to him and just say, Lord, just use this church, use me. We just release our own expectations and we just want you to be God. We know that it is your desire for your name to be broadcast across the earth. We know that you are coming. Lord, we know that you are going to do a mighty work, and we believe that this church is going to be a part of what you are doing in this earth because we are willing, Lord. Lord, your presence is upon us. Your name is upon us. Your name, the invisible tattoo, is on our forehead. We belong to you, Jesus. When we were baptized in your name, we belong to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If there's anybody that's been wrestling with baptism, that wasn't sure if that's, it's the best thing you can ever do to give your life over to God and let him take control. Stop ruining your life if you just get to the water and let him take over. Let his spirit take over. I'm here today to tell you with love in my heart that God has such a powerful place, powerful move that he wants to do through you. I hope you feel that. And all you have to do is submit and let him do it. We praise you, Jesus.
Chris.